Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Good to be back as always.
Yeah, and it's always good to have you on. So, George, it's been a few weeks, and as usual, 2022 keeps throwing curveballs at us. Why don't we start the episode off with, you know, with kind of your general take on recent price action in both, fixed income and, risky asset markets?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The year that never ends at surprising us with what the twists and turns that we see every single week, every single month. I think, there's been a game changer in the psychology of the markets post CPI. I think what we've learned since, last Friday's higher than expected inflation print is that, secretly the markets were, kind of hoping for this peak inflation narrative to really kind of set it in and really be the more dominant view going forward. And that really got pushed back given the, again, even a new higher high on the headline inflation, which is understandable given the energy shock that we're going through. And by all looks of it, it most likely hasn't ended yet. So the headline inflation risk to further upside is out there. And so I think the market secretly again had a peak inflation, hoping it was transitory in some elements of the inflation basket. And I think that kind of all got tabled for now. And that led to a significant repricing of both Fed expectations, outright yield levels on the curve, really nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, spreads widening, a sharp, significant decline in stock markets after breaking some key technical levels, especially on the S&P 500. So, really a market that's now coming to grasp with the idea that the Fed's going to have to be even more aggressive to really fight this inflation.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. As you say, nowhere to hide, risky assets or fixed income. Today, as example, you could argue relatively mild price action and, the 10-year notes off, another 10 basis points, or 10-year notes cheaper by another 10 basis points. And on, on that note, we are recording this podcast on Tuesday, June 14th, which is one day before the FOMC announces the results of the June meeting. George, you recently published your FOMC preview report. Why don't you take our listeners through the high points of the piece and what we should expect from the Fed at this upcoming meeting?
Absolutely. So the I think my base case, which is I'm assigning a large probability as the more likely outcome. I don't think the other outcomes are as plausible, but I'll discuss them as well. But the base case is that this meeting is going to come across as hawkish. Although there's now 75 basis points mostly baked in the cake for this hike at the June meeting, still delivering 75 after having just delivered 50. I think for those that haven't really gotten the memo, it's going to be a rude awakening. And then the idea of what they're going to do with their future forecasts for the dot plot. This is a June quarterly update. And we're going to get updates for both the macro forecast as well as the Fed's projections on the interest rate forecast, which is the dot plot. And I think that if they're truly expeditiously silly trying to raise rates, they're going to have to close the gap between the 2022 forecasts as well from the 2023. If you look at the 2023 and 2024 terminal dots, they're kind of close or above actually the long run dot of roughly 2.375 or 2.5, which is in real Fed funds 50 basis points based on the Fed's long run target of 2% inflation. If the Fed were to shift all median forecasts into the mid threes, getting closer to the market expectations, maybe not necessarily meeting it, I still think that's a hawkish development. And at the press conference, you would expect this time, unlike last time where the Fed or Fed Chair Powell took off the idea of 75 bips, I think at this point, you know, he's going to, you know, have his own Draghi moment and do whatever it takes to combat inflation and not, you know, say anything's off the table. Everything's on the table to fight inflation. So that's the base case. On the hawkish side, they could up the ante. I mean, it's kind of hard to get more hawkish than what I just described as base case. That seems pretty hawkish as it is. They could be more aggressive with the rate forecast path is one. And in the Q&A, you know, there's this uncomfortable, view about the Fed's never going to be able to really shrink the balance sheet because now they're pushing up long-term rates and it's going to be hard for mortgages to prepay. If the idea of selling assets or some sort of facility that allows them to proactively sell treasuries and mortgages to kind of backfill the cap every month to get up to close to $95 billion, something like that would really get the markets roiled. So I think that's the two hawkish, base cases hawkish, scenarios even more hawkish. The dovish scenario, which I assign low probability, is like, what if we're wrong and they cannot form consensus on doing 75 bips and instead do 50, which is still a big hike, but not what the market's expecting. And any sort of mention around they're nervous about market dynamics and liquidity and just how market function, given all the financial conditions tightening, any sort of like language around that would be dovish. But I assign a very low probability. It's too early for them to get dovish. This will be the third hike. They have to kind of keep combating inflation.
Yeah, and they obviously did some work to try and, you know, get out to the market, you know, yesterday that they were highly likely to do a 75 basis point hike. So that would be a lot of work for nothing. So wow, there's tons to follow tomorrow. Between the the statement itself, you know, do they in fact go 75 basis points? What did the summary of economic projections look at, as well as this crazy hawkish scenario that you put out there, which although low probability seems very plausible, you know, they sort of, you know, give us some sort of framework for actively selling bonds. So plenty to unpack there. But I suspect what our listeners really want to know is how the market would react to those three scenarios. So why don't you take us through it?
Yeah, really quickly. I mean, we've now unanchored the long end of the curve twice. You know, between the 250, 325 range, there was really no support in between. We tried to make a run towards 270 on the 10-year. That failed at the 50-day moving average, which keeps, you know, grinding higher as rates move up. So there's really no support for this market. But at the same time, we've discounted a lot of kind of bad news and hawkishness already. So I still think that even if they deliver a base case, which is hawkish, that probably hurts risk assets more than it does 10-year treasuries because they've done a lot of discounting. And on the curve, I still think overall the posture of a flattener makes sense because they're going to be adjusting the short rate policy for a number of more hikes. So I think there's a mild flattening with 10s maybe rallying, 30s rallying a little bit after this big sell-off on the base case. On the hawkish scenario, it's almost the flip side, because if they do have to proactively sell treasuries and mortgages, then you know mortgage duration would hit the belly of the curve. So I think that would be a steepener on the hawkish scenario. On the dovish scenario, decent steepening because it's a 50 bip versus a 75. So we get a decent move in the 2-year, but the whole rates market would rally and risk assets would do phenomenally well. But that just adds noise and volatility in what is likely still a bear market environment for overall financial assets. So the dovish scenario, I don't think it would be a time to reload on risk. I think it'd be more of an opportunity to shed risk. And so if we were to see a rally in assets because the Fed is dovish, I think that's a selling opportunity. Meanwhile, I think we're getting closer to averaging back into higher rates where treasuries are competing with credit and mortgages. So I think the hawkish and base case provide you a chance to kind of get back in at higher rates.
Got it. Yeah, that sounds like there's a myriad different ways the market could react to this. But just in summary, definitely noting that a dovish posture, or rather a flattening posture, could kind of make sense. And dovishness might be a good opportunity to unload on some risk assets. Certainly resonates with me. But for more, I would really encourage our listeners to check out George's June FOMC preview. And if you aren't receiving George's strategy reports, please feel free to get in contact contact with George directly. George, great stuff as always. And we will see what the Fed gives us tomorrow or today, if you're listening to the podcast.
That's right. Thanks, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.